drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. From arts festivals to the ever-present Q&A, panel discussions spark debate online, in the media, even in real life. But how do you start a conversation that's interesting, that's worthwhile, and avoids the whole "I'll take that as a comment" thing? Emily Sexton is the head of programming at the Wheeler Centre, and Zoe Pollock is the CEO and artistic director at the Brisbane Writers Festival. And they're here to talk about the art of the public conversation. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hi, Patricia.
So when you're organising panels, picking your guests, picking your topics, is the public reaction, the broader conversation, something you're actually thinking about, Zoe?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, when I program, what I try and think about, especially when you're programming a writer's festival, it's often months and months in advance. So we are assessing works and considering authors from February and even earlier for a September festival. So we're often trying to think and predict where the conversation might be up to 6 months down the track, and then also start to think a bit about where we might want to push that conversation as well. I'm conscious that we control a public platform and that the people we put up there on that platform very much contribute to the debate.
Emily, is that part of your consideration, where you want to take that conversation?
Yeah, it is very much so. I mean, the Wheeler Centre isn't a festival. It presents a yearly program 5 days a week. And we also record everything that we do and sort of disseminate it online. So we're more tending towards, a news organisation in the way that we're understanding what people are talking about and why. And in that same sensibility, we're looking for gaps, we're looking for ways that the conversation hasn't been discussed. And sometimes we're also, for our audience, they want explainers. They want, you know, they understand that there's an issue in the High Court around our constitution and citizenship laws. And they actually want to come together and go, what is this? And we'll get someone particularly enlightened on that topic to come and explain it.
It's interesting that you mention that. I find that even with our radio program, people do seek something more. They want that deeper conversation, the explainers. They're not so much of the assumed knowledge. How do you traverse that or try to do both? You want sort of a deep dive, but equally you want to make it accessible.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to get a sort of surface level understanding of an issue these days, and that sort of widespread accumulation of knowledge is quite easy when you are scrolling through digital feeds of various ilks or kind of just have enough time to get across headlines. So I think the opportunity, if you are bringing together people in a room, in a live conversation with an audience, the intimacy and specialness of that people have actually given over a time in their day to this interest, that's something you have to respond to and respect and reward by giving them really researched and focused information.
So Zoe, what makes for a good public conversation? What are the ingredients that you need?
Well, I think it does need to be topical and very much something that is responding to an issue or a discussion that we need to have or that we are having at the moment. I also think, you know, further to what Emily was saying, the people that we present, the writers and authors and thinkers that we put up on our stage, have written mainly long-form books on a particular subject. So what that does is it means they've spent a long time really thinking about and interrogating their subject and know it inside out. So for us, it's about ensuring the quality of that work and that it is contributing something new, and then how we're able to put them together with other people where they can have a stimulating conversation. Sometimes a debate is good, where they can draw out some of those ideas and hopefully lead people to read more.
So is there value, controversial question, in courting controversy, deliberately so?
I think it's really important that we do have difficult conversations, and I think Australia could do it better and do it more. I did a bit of travel a couple of years ago with Andrew Denton looking at the euthanasia laws around Europe in the Netherlands, and more than anything to do with that actual topic, what struck me the most was how good they were at talking about really hard things. And that was the major cultural difference, leaving aside all the other debates around assisted dying. The sophistication with which they were able to disagree was something I found kind of inspiring. And it is something that I try really hard to incorporate into our work. But for some topics and not others, to be quite honest. There are certain topics that I think are really good in a book that is a private dialogue between you and an author or is really intimate. Where when you put it on a stage with production values and all sorts of other kinds of pressures, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right kind of context. But I think when it comes to matters of, by and large, civic discussion, politics, law, and you know, those kinds of things, we should be trying to disagree with each other better. I think that's something Australia could really work on.
Zoe, do you think we struggle with having those difficult conversations, having that conversation in Australia? Is there something distinctive about the way we do it?
I think we definitely find it challenging. I think it's partly to do as well with how we program and how we approach different speakers. So, you know, there are a couple of people who get a lot of airtime, and I suppose particularly putting together this year's Brisbane Writers Festival, we've been really careful to ensure that we're bringing some new voices to the fore. And I think, you know, it's interesting because public talks, media, and the way that we have this public conversation really does lend itself to people who are seasoned or very articulate speakers. And that can mean that sometimes people who may have a slightly more nuanced interpretation of an issue and are not necessarily put up on a stage. And I think there are ways to do that, but it is a challenge that we face.
You talked about bringing new people in. Are you thinking about the makeup of your panels, Emily, in terms of what Zoe just referred to there in terms of diversity?
Oh, yes. And I think that, I mean, it's fascinating. I think maybe 10, 15 years ago that the diversity of who's talking was not nearly sort of addressed. But these days, there's absolutely no way that my audience would ever let us get away with without gender balance, without inclusivity in terms of different cultures and different points of view. That's not me being politically correct. That is our audience asking that if we put a step wrong, they will absolutely call us out on it. And absolutely they should. We're going to have a better conversation if it's a diverse one that incorporates different kinds of people's stories. So it's fascinating and actually really great how much that's progressed in the last few years.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvalis, and with me in the drawing room are Zoe Pollock, the CEO of the Brisbane Writers Festival, and Emily Sexton is the head of programming at the Wheeler Centre. And we're talking about the art of the public conversation, how to make public conversations good. Let's basically, you know, call it a spade, good conversations. So you're trying to do all of these things. I look at kind of the Writers' Festival, you know, guides from all the states, and often you do see the same faces and you see the same authors speaking. Is that a challenge, Zoe, because you don't want to just replicate, you know, the same agenda? But equally it's kind of difficult, isn't it, to try and step out of that sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something we're very mindful of in terms of trying to find that point of difference in what we're programming. But by the same token, we don't want our Brisbane audience to miss out on, you know, some of the touring international talent that is visiting Australia. We want to ensure that here in Brisbane, we're presenting the same conversation at same level of conversation as elsewhere. So it's finding that balance between what we can offer that is unique, that's distinct, but then also ensuring that our audiences can access, you know, those really key critical thinkers and authors.
So in terms of audience participation, because it's really, I think it's fair to say there's been a really long trend now to involve the audience, that it's not just this panel talking at an audience, but the audience is part of that conversation. Is that something that's still moving? Does that work? What are the flaws that you identify, Emily, in trying to kind of involve the audience in the conversation?
Yeah, we experiment with this a lot. That's the opportunity in doing daily events. We do regular Q&As and getting people just get on the microphone and get to have their questions asked. But we also do other things. We have a series that's called Question Time that's hosted by Madeline Morris from 7:30, which is entirely audience questions, but we are deliberately choosing the topics on that, topics that are intractable that we think we know quite a lot about and now we want to know more. We're also in the Festival of Questions that we've got coming up. using smartphone technology, and we'll be posing a series of intractable, difficult questions to the audience and getting them to vote in real time, and then the panel will sort of move through talking about those issues. So we're trying to sort of, I guess, push it out and stretch ourselves in how we do understand audience participation in these debates. But that said, some of my very, very favourite versions of these events is two people talking to an author about one really beautiful book. There's certainly, if I'm doing an interview, that's my favourite kind of thing to do. So, yeah, and really, really talking about a book that everyone loved. Like, that is such a lovely way to spend time. So you sort of have to balance your desire to innovate with also the desire to just make something quality that really works.
That's a really interesting point you just made, balancing that, you know, because there is this, we're always seeking to innovate, to do it differently. But of course, there are some ways that we've always done things. I mean, let's just peel it back. I mean, a conversation is a conversation.
Absolutely.
Right?
And one of the great things about this art form of public conversations is that the barrier is so low. Anyone should be able to talk to another person. It's not the same as watching ballet or watching or looking at an exquisite painting. There's definitely a craft to it. Everyone's seen it done badly and done exceptionally well, but ultimately it should be a space which everyone can be part of.
Zoe, do you see yourself as a gatekeeper on what topics reach public consumption? Because that's a really interesting one too. There are some topics that I feel like we discuss every day, and there are others that we don't hear as much about. Is part of what you do when you construct a program trying to bring out those conversations that are not necessarily dominant?
Because I am conscious that I'm a gatekeeper and I'm conscious of who I am, that I try and reach out to different community groups for suggestions and input into how we program. At this year's Brisbane Writers Festival, we've got a dedicated stream that's looking at Aboriginal affairs, and we've done that very deliberately and in consultation with some local advisors. I think that's important for any arts programmer, is thinking about how you can be conscious of your own identity and then ensuring that you're not necessarily programming conversations in a way that you think they should be programmed, but reaching out to other communities for input.
Is that something you think about too, Emily? I mean, at the end of the day, we're all a product of our upbringing, our own prism, and as well-read as you try to be, ultimately that prism is fairly dominant in terms of your decision making.
Totally. I mean, it's funny, I'm 3 years into this job, as a question I was asked in my interview, and I think I said at the time, like, if it's just about me, then I'm going to get bored, you know, like, yeah. You have to get out.
I can't hear about myself anymore.
Yeah, like, you know, like, you're going to run out of ideas if you're just drawing on the well of it being about you. So it's absolutely, one of the best parts of my job is kind of what Zoe has mentioned as well. I often get to sit down with very particular interests groups and community groups, a man who used to work for the UN who's interested in running a Caribbean arts festival, people who are looking, there's a new report coming out around disability in prisons and what can we talk about that issue and what can we do for that. We work with Reprieve Australia, like so many, many different community groups who have expertise and knowledge that is so out of what I understand. And so you really have to adopt a position of, well, I'm not the expert here. I can just act as a bridge between the kinds of ideas and knowledge that you have and what I know, the way I know it needs to be framed for a general audience to kind of hook in and come along. And I had an interesting conversation with another cultural partner yesterday about the need in this space of public conversations, the need to kind of be simple and call a spade, that if you try to get too tricky, people don't get it. They
lose
off. Life is too busy. So you really need, if you want to talk about something, say, for example, marriage equality, that's what we're talking about. And you have to be really clear. And I often feel less like a curator and more like an editor or someone who's kind of trying to synthesize and work out how different people can talk to each other.
Emily Sexton and Zoe Pollock have been my guests in the drawing room. Now, Zoe is the CEO of the Brisbane Writers Festival, and Emily is the head of programming at the Wheeler Centre. The Festival of Questions will be on at the Melbourne Town Hall on the 15th of October.